It's the Paul Patterson and Tom Scalin podcast show. They're talking the walk and not about sloppy joes. So, talk and walk show.
Welcome back to Talking the Walk, episode 76, The Script. I am Paul Patterson.
And I'm Tom Scallon.
Bailey Bishop, her artwork, Jake Brown, and his music, Tyler Stanley's social media, Joe Martin, fact checker, and then, of course, Jeff Graby in marketing. Watch update. So here's the question. What was my watch update? I just skipped right over the top. Here's the question. Are you ready? I have two of them. You ready?
Ready.
First one. When you are putting clean dishes, glasses, and silverware away, do you put them clean back on the top or on the bottom?
Clean on the top.
So does that essentially mean you're using the same plate every single time you grab a plate? Or do you grab from the bottom?
Oh, no. Same plate.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, you cleaned it for a reason.
Right. But aren't the rest of them that are in there also clean?
Yeah.
But you're only using and wearing one?
Well, I never wear my plates, but I'm only
wearing one out. Wearing one out.
We've had the same plates since we first got married, Crate and Barrel, like white plates.
Well, I'm right. I know them well.
Yeah, they're in good shape.
But does someone else in the house rotate them?
No.
Okay. I'm curious about people's rotation. Does that make sense?
Melanie's big thing would be, like we have plastic bowls and plastic cups from the bygone days of young kids.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
That we still
same,
use
same. Older kids. Yep, same.
She likes them to be color coordinated, and I'm okay with random. So, like, we have two yellow bowls, two blue bowls, two oranges, and two reds. If she does them, they're color coordinated, and so
like,
are the cups.
Like the blues are together, the oranges are together, or it's every color and then every color.
No, two yellows, two blues, two reds, okay. Two whatever. If I do them, I just put them all together quick and put them back in. Because I don't care.
Okay. So.
Now, Kennedy does dishes like me. Tommy does dishes like his mother. And the other two try to avoid dishes as much as possible.
Which, I mean, all of that makes sense. All of that makes sense. So, if listeners out there, I am curious as to what your method of putting things away are. For me, I am taking the plate I used and I am putting it at the bottom. So the next time I go, I am taking the next plate that's on top out and then putting the clean one back on the bottom. So using all of them in the...
It's kind of like your iPod. And yes, I said iPod.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't have that anymore. Did you know that?
No. What'd you do with it?
I don't have it anymore. I mean, it died, and rather than refurbishing it or trying to find a new one, everything's on my phone now and in the cloud. So, yeah, that's a big step.
Ours are still working. We could plug them in if we wanted to.
That's a big step. Big step. One of the things that I think hurt my iPod usage was the use of the sound dock, the Bose sound dock that I used all the time. And now it's wireless, so it works out perfect, the speakers that I have. Okay, are you ready? Question number two. After groceries, do you rotate new stuff to the back, or do you just, as you're putting it away, you just put it at the front? So you're always using the most fresh stuff up.
Definitely rotate.
Okay, so the new stuff goes to the back of the pantry.
Yeah,
and slide the older stuff to the front.
Yep, and we have a deep freeze that rarely gets used. Just got used 2-3 weeks ago because pork loin was on sale for $9.99 a pound, and they talked me into it at the counter. It was a deal. It's a deal. So cut up some steaks. So those are in the deep freeze. That's about it in the deep freeze. And then we have the downstairs fridge, which is kind of my beverage fridge. Then we have the outside in the basement fridge where we put the newest stuff. And then the in the kitchen fridge is where the close to perishable stuff is.
Okay. And then you also have your pantry that you have to rotate.
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay. So listeners, as you're out there, those are the two questions. What do you do when you're putting clean dishes and plates and glasses and silverware away? And then what do you do when you get groceries? What's the rotation process? Ready for confessional? Unless you had a question. My confessional.
No, I've got nothing to confess. My knee hurts. That's about it.
Okay, that's a fair one. I am ready for warmer weather. And when I say warmer weather, I don't mean I'm ready for 80 degrees. I'm ready for it to be in the 40s right now. That's my confession. Okay.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm wearing shorts anyway all the time.
Yeah, me too. Mainly because I don't fit in anything else. So here we go. Are you ready?
Feedback.
First one, Brock Sweckle. Haven't finished the pod, but so jealous of the Dick Butkus football. He's my favorite and is why I wear 51. I'm a huge Kobe fan and want to find some of his stuff if I have the bankroll to get any of it in the future. Look out, Brock Sweckle, because the future of memorabilia could be very pricey based on availability more so than anything else. I think all three are important. As far as we talked memorabilia, we talked about personal, we talked about team, and we talked about you know, as far as your awards that you got when you were in high school or college or whatever. I think all three are important. I love signed sports things, just haven't had much time to collect any. My personal stuff from high school is still at home. And at the time it was very important and hung up. Now I feel kind of weird having high school awards displayed. I feel like I'm living a bit in the glory days. However, I do have my Shrine Bowl helmet on display because I think it's pretty cool with all the stickers and things like that. Helmet and jersey are things I will certainly keep track of and probably display for a long time. So, but that one was pretty good. And then
just have Brock bring that stuff to me and I'll sign it.
Yeah, well, he's an avid listener, so I'm sure he might next time he's in town. Cole Hopkins, memorabilia. I'm with Lee. I will not go around the lot more than once. As soon as I see a spot, I take it. And then tell Lee I'll put up a 2/3 full case of Coors Light for the Bo Pelini autograph. Straight up trade. Oh.
It is Coors Light. You know, that's a buck more for the case that he's buying there.
So what ended up happening today is I think they both agreed upon maybe a two-thirds full Coors Original, the banquet of beers, for that Bo Pelini signed picture. I don't know if that actually got arranged and decided upon, but it sure seemed like that was going to happen. And it is a signed autographed picture, which isn't that the same thing, signed autograph, that's redundant, I apologize. It is a signed picture of an overhead shot of Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. I think it's Memorial Stadium, right, in Lincoln. And it fades from black and white into color, and it says 50 years of sellouts. And then Bo Pelini signed it on the bottom. It's a pretty cool looking picture.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, you can't prove it. It's a really cool looking picture. And so maybe that will change hands.
Is there a cat? Does Bo Pelini have a cat in his arm?
So he had that. And then Lee suggested today in our text exchange that maybe he should think about going and getting Bo Pelini to sign it also, which would really make it worth a lot of money. Next up. It's meat. We got two different things going here from him. The first one is about the memorabilia, and then the second one is an update basically on the transfer portal. So here's the first one. I apologize. Meat is Jeff Cleaver. I found that I'm becoming a minimalist as I age, making me less likely to collect memorabilia and more likely to get rid of the stuff I have. I find myself wondering with some frequency, this object doesn't give me joy anymore. Is there someone else who would appreciate it? That end, if anyone wants some autographed mini helmets, I'm happy to send them off to a good home. I think I have Kurt Warner and Gale Sayers somewhere. I don't put much value in individual awards I accumulated, though those are a bit harder to dispose of because no one else wants them either. I have the same tub of newspaper clipping certificates and degrees that most people have in their basement, though I was able to part with a few medals and other items. Haven't missed them yet. So then the second piece from him is, saw the stat in an ESPN article, some data about how the transfer portal has impacted high school recruiting. Not a huge difference, but some. In 2022, FBS schools signed on average 20.8 high school seniors. 2 years earlier, before COVID-19, when the transfer portal was in its infancy, that number was 22.4. Add that up, and more than 100 players who might have landed at a Power 5 school had to look elsewhere, and hundreds more went from group of five offers to FCS, junior colleges, and prep school. So that was that. And then the final piece of feedback from our memorabilia episode was Tim Clay sent me a message on Twitter that I could stop down anytime I wanted and check out all of the signed pictures that he's got in his classroom. And the story behind that is his grandpa and grandma. I'm almost, but Tim, you're gonna have to correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I'm almost positive. His grandpa and grandma used to be a part of the Gridiron Club in Iowa City. And so they would have, or maybe it was in Des Moines, and they had people come and visit, you know, and come speak at the luncheon or whatever, and then they'd sign autographs. And he's got a whole bunch of those up on his wall in his classroom. So if you enjoy memorabilia, give that a stop sometime and start looking through there. You got anything?
No feedback.
No, none. Okay. And this time it's actually accurate. You did not get any from anybody. So moving on to high school sports. First one, bowling. Their season ended at the, are they districts? Whatever the district, maybe, I think that's what they're, I don't know. I think it's district tournament. They didn't make it as a team, and they had somebody finish ninth and you had to finish in the top eight in order to go. So I can't remember if it was the boys or girls finished one team off. So they were one place too low. And then the other group wasn't very close. And then I think they had one individual bowler finish ninth and they needed to be eighth. Swimming, Will Chase competed in the state swim meet. And I mean, that's pretty exciting, you know, and hopefully we have a place to compete next year. Still haven't heard a final verdict on any of that. Wrestling, we had five that made it to state and we had three that found themselves on the podium. We had a third, a sixth, and an eighth place finishers over the weekend. And overall, just a really good weekend for those guys, I think. Robo Warriors competed in the at state in Coralville over the weekend. And on Saturday, they made it to the semifinals, but did not make it to Super Nationals. So they also had a good year and were excited about how they competed and where they finished. And then girls basketball won their first round game against Newton. And then on Saturday, they lost to Bondurant Farrar. And then last night, Bondurant Farrar beat Indian Oler to make the state girls basketball tournament. And then boys in their first round game beat Des Moines Roosevelt on Monday. And then tomorrow night, they travel to Johnston for that next round game at Johnston. And it is not state yet. They still have one more game, but a big one at Johnston. And I think that's a 7 p.m. start tomorrow night at Johnston High School. So that really is high school sports wrapped up. And for us, essentially it is basically just a Norwalk update because we don't have the end of Noller guy on. So that's where we're at with that. Next, high school sports wise, had a meeting yesterday at Valley High School. And there were representatives from various schools, not very many. There was four schools represented. And then we had the IHSAA there. And basically what it boiled down to is we were discussing and reviewing the effectiveness of the RPI at the same time, seeing if we could tweak the RPI to make non-district scheduling, as far as who you want to play and everything, more appealing to play somebody tougher. And I'll be honest with you, I was 100% optimistic that we were going to be able to take the 37.5, 37.5, and then what's left, 25, Is that right?
No.
20?
So it's 38, 37, yeah, 75.
So 25.
25, you're right, yeah.
I was thinking we were going to be able to take one of those three percentages and bounce it up, down, whatever, move it around, and we were going to find this magic formula that said, if this number is right, it makes it more inviting for somebody in their non-district schedule to pick somebody tough, that a win isn't gonna matter. Well, guess what? You want to guess?
It didn't make it any easier.
It doesn't make any difference. RPI, set up the way that it is, tweaking any of those numbers does not really change much as far as who makes the playoffs. And at the same time, doesn't really make it any more inviting for you to play somebody tough. So we are not going to be able to convince somebody who is not very good at football to play defending state champ Lewis Central. It isn't inviting. So the teams that struggle right now to find non-district games, guess what's going to happen?
They're going to get put up against teams that other people don't want to play.
They're going to continue to struggle to find teams that want to play them in non-district football. So yes, they're going to have a tougher non-district schedule than somebody who's not as good.
It seems to me you would have to do something around wins versus percentages. For example, and I know you get like your opponent and those sorts of things, but if you, I don't know, I'd have to work on the math of this because I messed around a lot with the class rank formula and the different things that we created when I created that long ago. What if you got points for Lewis Central continuing to win and not percentage points, but just like whole numbers?
So, you know, so if Lewis Central goes 7-2. Very similar to DT's formula, is what you're saying.
I haven't seen DT's formula.
Okay. It sounds very similar that you get X number of points for making the playoffs. You get X number of points for winning a playoff game, for playing a quarterfinal game, winning a quarterfinal game. And then that success factor, that rate, then determines where you're at moving forward, either up or down.
I was thinking during the season.
Oh, I got you.
I don't know. The best way to do it, put us into bigger districts and just take those teams, because then it's you win yourself in.
That is that's one of the things that we talked about. We also talked about what Colorado is now doing, which is where we got the RPI, but Colorado now is saying that if you play up, you get a 0.15 increase for playing up a class. If you play up two classes, you get a 0.3 bump in your RPI. If you play up three classes, you get a 0.45. So that was talked about. And then
you know about that, right? That's how soccer is. If you win a 3A game, you get 3 points, 2 points, 1 point. I mean,
and then if you play down, you get two of those that are free. So you don't want to penalize people for playing down, right? So you give them two freebies.
Why don't you want to penalize for playing down?
Because then who would want to play somebody that wants to play you up? If I want to play Johnston, if they know that they're going to lose points, regardless if they beat us or not, is they're not going to be willing to do it. So you have to have some incentive for them to not be fearful of going down.
Don't do it. Keep us all in the same class and make us measure against the same class.
Well, okay. Yeah, but then you also have rivalries that cross class lines. Anyway, I also looked at Arizona, where Arizona, it is based on your success rate, and you either get bumped in or bumped up, bumped down, and then they have the invite-only class that the school out there that won 7 state championships in a row, and I think they were in the third smallest classification, got bumped up 2 years ago to the invite only, and I'm air quoting, the invite only postseason tournament, and they finished second. And then the next year, which was last year, they won it. One of the
so they're really good.
They are really good, yes. And then California has something else different. Anyway, bottom line is, I was really pleased with the willingness that they were willing to sit down at the same table with us and have a conversation. They were very open about it, and you know, what can we come up with? I was very disappointed in the fact that we could not come up with a better solution than what we had. I was really hoping for something different. And then also got a little insight on you know, the ball contract is up. Wilson, for football, it's Wilson, Big Game, and Spalding. And then for the all sport contract, it is Wilson and Spalding. Right now.
Has it always been two contracts?
What's that?
Has it always been two contracts, football and all sports?
No. Okay. The only reason I read it that way was because Big Game only makes footballs. Big Game is going to have a really tough time winning the all sport contract when all they make is footballs.
Right.
Wilson and Spalding.
It's only going to be one contract for the state of Iowa.
Correct. But they would be willing to listen to every sport having their own contract, but nobody really wants to do that. And Spalding can make footballs, kind of, basketballs, soccer, and baseballs.
No, I don't think soccer teams would choose Spalding.
That's not what I'm saying. Not saying choosing. I'm saying that's what they can make. Wilson.
Okay.
So when you're talking Spalding is a four sport contract. Wilson, however, they make football. They make basketballs. They make soccer balls. They make tennis balls, and they make baseballs. So now you're a five sport contract with Wilson. So next month, the board of directors get together and they decide on what they're going to do. If I were a betting man, which I'm not, but if I were, I'd have your Wilson supplier ready to roll. So went to Waukee Northwest High School last night for their youth football meeting. And Waukee Northwest is joining our league, our Iowa Development Youth Football League. And it was
Just Waukee Northwest?
Just Northwest. Northwest Youth Football is joining us. Waukee Youth Football is not joining us. Northwest Football is.
Where's Waukee Youth Football?
They don't get along. So I'm not exactly sure where they're playing, but they do not get along. That's probably the most polite way of saying that. They just don't. So Scott Heitland and I were representatives from the IDYFL, and then obviously Corey Kopatich and his whole youth board and everything was it. Corey Kopatich is the head football coach that were there. Really, really well ran meeting, really great questions and lots of interactions. Scott and I got to talk. It was a really good presentation and just a really good night. And then we got a tour of the Waukee Northwest building. And basically we got a little bit of the academic side of the tour. And then we got the whole athletic side of the tour. Holy cow, is that place unbelievable. It's unbelievable, which makes me even more excited about what's coming up for us when our new competition center is finished, because we will be similar to them athletically from the court side and inside stuff. It's awesome.
Well, it's a good thing that Brad Buck, superintendent, didn't want Waukee and Waukee Northwest to play each other this year, because they didn't want any bad blood. Since the youth football players are going to come up and they're going to have bad blood.
Yep. Yeah. And the parents. I don't think parents are
going to be great. Worked out really well. Good job.
Should be some great rivalry games, very similar to Ankeny, Centennial, West, and High, you know, all of that. I think that'll be good. And so just a side note, is the Des Moines rivalries watered down just a little bit because they have so many high schools compared to like an Ankeny, in Iowa City, and now Waukee, where you just have the two versus five or three or four, is that change or not?
Oh, I mean, I'm so far removed from. It'd be interesting to have Blake on here, Bergstrom, and see what he thinks because he just coached there. But we didn't like. I know. I it's like the NFC East. Hugh asks me, Dad, who do the Cowboys hate? And I'm like, well, the Eagles, for sure. Hate the Eagles. He's like, but what about the Giants? Don't like them. What about the Washington football team or the Commanders?
The Commanders, yeah.
Don't like them. He's like, and was Arizona part of that? Don't like them either. So I think it's kind of like Hoover hated Roosevelt because of our proximity. There was a lot of it'd almost be like Carlisle, Norwalk, Indianola kids, how they all know each other, yep. You know, and really same sort of proximity if you think about it. And you didn't like each other sport wise, but we saw each other everywhere around the city together. So that's how I'd answer that question. We did have one team that we really hated, but in the end, the rest of them could suck it as well.
Okay. And that's, I just didn't know if only having two schools made it even more intense as opposed to more schools and options for you to not like. And I thought that was a good analogy between the with the NFC East.
Well, so, I tell you that now I'm sure Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial have a lot more on the line than Hoover and Roosevelt.
Sure. Agree with that too. The non-sponsor of this episode, Penrod's Barbershop, located on 5th Street in West Des Moines Valley. Valley Junction.
So great place.
It is. And here's the deal. I'm sure many of you know, and this feels more like a confessional. Many of you probably don't know that I've had three barbers in my life. I had Roger Guiley, who is now passed away. He was my first one. He was in Monroe, Wisconsin. And then when I was in college in Dubuque at Loris, I went to Gene Sands. There's no way Gene is still alive. He was really old in 1996 when I was there getting my haircut. And then when I came to the Des Moines area, I found Kevin on a whim down in Valley Junction when we lived in West Des Moines on 11th Street. And I have been going to him now 26 years. I've been going to Kevin Gallagher on 5th Street in Valley Junction. And why is he up now? Why is he our non-sponsor? Because next week is the IFCA ACE football clinic out at Prairie Meadows. And sometimes I like to go get my haircut before we take off to go out there. So that's why.
Well, you got to look good. You got to look good when you're big time.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I will be big time.
Now, here's my question. The barbershop is supposed to be a place of conversation, whether it's politics, sports, honesty, and truth. Do you think your current barber has the wherewithal to tell you you might need to think of a different haircut in the next couple of years?
No, he will never tell me that because he knows I'm going to come back every 2 to 3 weeks and get my haircut. He doesn't care.
I think I could give you your haircut.
No way. No way. Yes. You could try. It's not going to look that good.
I think I could. I think I could go sample the product that he provides and give the haircut.
Okay. Well, I enjoy going. And when he is no longer cutting hair for whatever reason, then I will obviously do something different because I'm not getting another barber. No chance of it.
How much does a haircut cost there?
I'm not saying it. So we're moving on to the Papa Burger section of this podcast. It's called The Script because we're going to talk about Hall of Fame, right? And of course, the reason why we call it The Script is they sang a song and released it in 2012 called Hall of Fame. So why are we picking the Hall of Fame? That seems kind of boring, right? Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. It does seem kind of boring. However, we did have a request from one of our listeners, Brock Sweckle, number 51, who loves Dick Butkus. It's his favorite player of all time. I have a signed football. I'm looking at it right now. Dick Butkus, Hall of Fame, 1979. He wanted to know more about the Hall of Fame. So what I did, went through and I grabbed three things for us to basically buzz through here real quick. First one is just a general Norwalk Athletic Hall of Fame. Second one is the Norwalk Wall of Fame, which is just recently created. And then the IFCA Hall of Fame. Those were the three that I grabbed. So the first one is the Norwalk Hall of Fame. Mission statement. Norwalk High School Athletic Hall of Fame recognizes and honors those former athletes, coaches, and others who have made significant contributions to the athletic programs of Norwalk High School and to the growth and success of Norwalk Athletics while educating our current athletes about the history of Norwalk Athletics. And then the Hall of Fame committee membership is made up of the following: two current boys head coaches, two current girls head coaches, two community members, and the high school athletic director. And then this is how you are categories for nomination. You can be an athlete, a coach, or a contributor. Okay. As of right now that I know of, we have not had a contributor. That's that I don't believe is what we've had that. So what does it mean to be an athlete? Any former athlete who has distinguished himself or herself in the field of athletics while a student athlete at Norwalk High School, as well as character and citizenship during and after graduation, will be considered. Post-secondary athletic success will also be a consideration for induction in addition to his or her high school career. Nominees for the High School Hall of Fame will have graduated a minimum of 5 years prior to being nominated. Coach. Any coach who meets the nomination criteria may be nominated for the Norwalk High School Athletic Hall of Fame. Nominees for the Norwalk High School Hall of Fame have been retired 5 years. And then contributors. Any individual who has made outstanding contributions to the interscholastic athletic programs at Norwalk High School other than coaching or playing may be considered. Note that the contributor nominations will not be accepted. So you basically have to fill out this form, and I'm going to get to it here in just a little bit. But induction ceremony is each year at the community pep assembly on the Thursday prior to Friday night's football homecoming game. And inductees will also be introduced during halftime of the Friday night homecoming game. Awards, two uniform plaques will be awarded to each inductee. One plaque will be presented to the inductee. The other will be placed on display in an area designated by the athletic activities office. I'm kind of excited to see what that looks like in the new facility. Do you know what that looks like, or anything? Have you seen any of that?
The plaque?
No. The new area where they're going to put Hall of Fame and
yeah, it's and all that. The last I saw it, which I don't get to be involved in all the meetings. They only involve me after they do something that decreases the safety of the building. Then they asked me what I could do with it. There's a long hallway and there'll be glass windows. And I think pictures and things will go along those, those windows. So as you're, instead of walking down into the basketball court, right?
Yep.
There'll be a hallway that has on one end, the concessions and the sports shop and things like that. And then you can go walk down the hallway and you'll see all the awards.
Okay.
A little Pella. Ooh, excuse me. Team to the East ish. Yeah.
Do I have to put an E? Do I have to put an explicit rating on this one now?
Well, I might swear. So you do it. That's the opioids coming out.
So why do you have opioids? You're not addicted. You had knee surgery last Monday for those of us that don't know.
Well, it doesn't matter because things that we say on here get construed all sorts of ways. So
the following criteria shall be used, but not limited to, by the selection committee in determining those former athletes to be inducted in the Norwalk Athletic Hall of Fame. So this is for the athletes. Must be a graduate of Norwalk High School 5 years prior. Former athlete distinguished themselves in the field of athletics. Must have participated in a girls' union or a athletic association sanctioned sport. Members of a team state championship, state runner-up, or state qualifiers, individual state champion, state runner-up, or qualifier, all state selection by the Iowa Newspaper Association, which he's got to get that changed. That's got to be Iowa Print Sports Writers Association, Girls Union, Boys Association, Des Moines Register, respective coaches association, all state teams, notable state, regional, or national awards, all conference selections, school record holder, number of letter winners achieved, and post-secondary athletic achievement. There shall be no more than 5 athletes inducted in any one year. And nor shall there be a minimum number of athletes inducted in any one year. So 5 is the max, and then it could be just 1. Or none, I guess, if you don't have any, right? If I read that correctly. Coaches, Hall of Fame eligibility. Must have coaches sanctioned sport in the Girls Union or the Boys Association. Number of years of coaching service, 7 through 12. Number of individual and or team state championships. The number of individual or team state tournament qualifications, including playoffs, football, and state placing. Number of individual and or team conference championships. Member of the Sports State Hall of Fame. Member of the Sports National Hall of Fame. Any additional district, regional, state, or national coaching awards or recognition. committee can take into consideration individuals who may have had an impact on the NORAC athletic program 7-12, as well as athletes through their coaching career in NORAC. There shall be no more than one former coach inducted in any one year. So one is the max. And you could have nobody, but one is the max. So then we are evaluation and selection process. This is where things get interesting, in my opinion. Following shall be used by the selection committee to determine those nominees who shall be inducted in the NORAC Athletic Hall of Fame. The selection committee shall meet at a predetermined date set by the athletic director. All members of the selection committee shall review all nominations and then apply the following point system to the nomination based on the criteria for induction and the formation information provided in the nomination. 3 points shall be applied to the nomination for recommendation of induction into the Hall of Fame. 2 points shall be applied to the nomination for consideration of induction. 1 point shall be applied to the nomination for consideration at a later date.
Time out. What is that again?
So 3 points if you think the person should be recommended for induction in the Hall of Fame. 2 points for if you think they should be considered for induction. And then 1 point for consideration at a later date. A nomination must be awarded with a minimum of 17 out of the potential maximum 21 to qualify for potential induction. Note, there are 7 committee members that can award a nomination with 3 points resulting in the 21 point total. Should there be more than a total of 5 nominations recommended for induction, the list shall then be placed in rank order of induction by each committee member, 1 through the total number of recommendations. Once the ranked order is completed, then the 5 lowest scoring nominations based on the ranking order shall be inducted, and the rest of the nominations shall be considered the following year. And then you have a 2-page form that you have to fill out. And basically what you have to do is you have to give your reasoning as to why you think they should be in the Hall. Okay.
And that's really hard, that last part.
Yeah, coming up with the why.
I've written for several soccer players, and that's it's a difficult task to write because there's not always statistics that are easy to convey to other people who maybe don't have any idea about soccer. And how do you talk about an outside back in soccer? You know, it's not like you can say nobody scored against them because it's a, you know, we don't play man to man.
There's no measurable statistics that you can throw out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's some things that just wouldn't make sense necessarily.
Did you nominate Randy Brown, Brandon Schmitz yet or not?
Brandon, I don't know. I've texted him 2 times this week. He hasn't responded. I texted him about Randy Brown 2 years ago. He still hasn't responded. When did we start the podcast? A year and a half ago?
Yep. Well, to be exact.
I guess we're no longer teammates because he doesn't respond to my,
2020.
My text.
2020. Okay. So then the next one is the Norwalk District Wall of Fame nomination form. So this one's a little different. And it's basically the you can be a graduate or a staff member for outstanding achievements and contributions to society and our community. Graduate criteria, nominee must have attended and graduated from Norwalk High School at least 10 years prior to the nomination. Since graduation, nominee must have demonstrated notable and outstanding achievement in any of the following areas: arts, business, community service, humanitarian efforts, or profession. And then notable staff criteria, nominee must have been on staff at Norwalk Community Schools for a minimum of 10 years. And this one's interesting, may be either currently or formerly so employed. Nominee must have attained a notable level of performance by demonstrating a caring attitude for students, superior professional skills, and by being highly respected by students, staff, and the community. Nomination form, and then it gets right into the nomination form. Name a nominee, current occupation and position, previously held occupation and position, and that's got to be relevant to the nomination. List achievements, awards, and acknowledgement. Please describe in detail why you believe this person should receive this recognition. And then you yourself as the nominee have to fill out information about who you are. That one was created, well, I'll talk about that later. So then the last one I've got to talk about is the Iowa Football Coach Association Hall of Fame nomination form. And it really, not a whole lot of criteria here. Must have a major contribution to Iowa high school football. May be either retired or active when nominated. Must have at least 15 years of head coaching, with at least 10 years of those being in Iowa high schools, or have a total of 20 years of high school coaching experience. Must have contributed towards the general improvement of Iowa high school football and be of outstanding character. Note, candidate on the enclosed nomination form need not be renominated. Please check the Iowa high school yearbook for those already in the Hall of Fame. Nominees will be taken to the Hall of Fame committee for placement on the ballot. So then you just give nominee name, address, and then school that they played at, and then you have to basically give a little list as to what they did and the why. So at the end of the day, a committee gets together and they decide on who's going to get in
for that one. So I could put you up in 20 years and say Paul Patterson was the IFCA president and had all these wins, and he led us during COVID, a very trying time. Boom, you're in.
You would nominate me in that regard, in that manner, but that doesn't mean I'm in. Good grief. Gotta get through the committee. So that was it. Just given just a little rundown of basically Hall of Fames. I don't know where I hope that helped, Brock. And obviously there's Hall of Fames, you know, all over the place as far as what people do. And I know that what does Indianola has, is it Wall of Distinction? They've got something similar to our Wall of Honor. Their Hall of Fame. And I don't know, I mean, when we were going through and creating the Hall of Fame, there were an awful lot of places that we looked at that had criteria and what we should do for ours. And so that's kind of what it came down to. The biggest issue, regardless of what you're talking about, Wall of Honor, our Hall of Fame, IFCA Hall of Fame, is the lack of nominations. That's usually where the problem lies, is that it's great that we have them and we love celebrating it, but we don't get very many people to nominate. And that usually runs into, or where we run into a problem. So if you've got anybody that you have in mind, athlete, coach, contributor, get them nominated. And hop on there and get it taken care of. I think they decide somewhere in that July range, right? July, I think, yeah, is when they meet and get it done. So think about doing that.
From the soccer angle, you know, Coach Kralik had that 5-year run, more than that, but, you know, when he runs 3 states in a 4-year span, that gets difficult too. There's a whole lot of guys that you could put up for a whole lot of different reasons, you know, and how many soccer guys can be in the Hall of Fame, and how many, you know, do I write 4 letters, 5 letters?
If I'm not mistaken, he's already in the Soccer Coaches Association Hall of Fame.
No, not for him. I mean, the players.
Oh, I gotcha.
During that run, which, you know, Do you take the center back or the center mid? Do you take the forward? Do you take that? I mean, there are a lot of, do you take the keeper where nobody scored on? It's just, it'll be some interesting decisions just to decide who to write up often. Just the same for education. You know, I've thought about writing up, nominating Al Hart. But I don't know who remembers Al Hart around here. Well, yeah.
I do.
Yeah, you're growing on a list of those. You know, when Dale talked about old war horses, yeah, you've moved well up the list.
Yeah. Well, yes. My gosh. It's year 25. I will be finishing year 25. So.
Yeah. Well, after this, it's Leslie and myself.
Yeah, I think our 25 group is still pretty big. One of the largest in the district. Something to hang our hat on. We're proud of it. So moving on to history. Hall of Fame from the Norwalk, okay, was created in 2015, because that's the first year that we did an induction class. I could not find when the IFCA Hall of Fame was created, and then the Norwalk Wall of Fame was created in 2020, and the first induction class of 3 was in 2021, and then they are also on display in that hallway just outside the cafeteria. The 3 winners there. And I don't know, are they rotating? Like, so the next year, so 2022 winners will replace those three or however many they are, or they're getting added to it. Do you know the answer to that? It's a pretty neat little display that they've got there.
As I understood, they'll be added to.
Added to. Okay.
But I, you know, after so many years, you're going to have to make a decision where you're going to put plaques up on the side with names and then rotate. And I don't know what we're going to do for our own Hall of Fame. I shouldn't say our own, for the more activities Hall of Fame, because after a while, those, you know, like trophy cases are full. What do you do with those? And
yep.
Can't electronic place that sort of thing.
Right, right. Positive this episode would be the IHSAA and the Wrestling Coaches and Officials Association getting together and discussing the current setup of duels and individual state. They had a pretty lengthy conversation about timing and what to do and how to improve that. And I think that's really good, because one of the issues I see as an outsider when it comes to wrestling is too many people don't try in duels. They don't wrestle their guys because team state or individual state's coming up and they want that.
That's most important to them.
Yes. And so it's just a very strange time when it comes to all that. And so the two groups, organizations, have sat down and had a lengthy conversation, and I think they're going to come up with a really good solution. And I'm excited to see what that is. But the positive for me is that they are sitting at the same table and having a conversation about how they can make it better. And I think that's really good and a step in the right direction. So that's our positive for the episode. You got anything else?
I do, actually. Remember when you got me this bobblehead?
Yeah.
I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever?
Yeah.
And it fell off the secretariat.
And?
The left knee is the one with the iron rod. See that?
That's funny.
Which is
voodoo doll.
Yeah, you did this to me.
It's a voodoo doll. Well, yeah. I'm thankful I did it to you, because now you're going to walk better.
Yep, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, and at least be able to stand.
Yes, that'll be exciting. And I won't get offered up. I won't go to football stadiums and ask if I wanted to have a ride in the Gator.
Well, you should. So as we recap, a couple of questions. Remember, how do you put your dishes and glasses and silverware away? And then what do you do when you get groceries? How do you put that the new supply of groceries away? If you've got any comments or thoughts on the Hall of Fame information, I know it was a lot thrown at you. And then, of course, a special thanks to Kevin Gallagher and Penrod's Barbershop on 5th Street and Valley Junction. If you get a chance, stop by and say hi to Kevin and enjoy life down there if you need to. And then maybe do a little shopping in Valley Junction in general and enjoy that. But this is February 24th. It's a Thursday night. And we did tonight because Monday night we had basketball. Tuesday night was the ice storm, which just didn't work out because of all the other stuff going on. And then last night was youth football. Tonight was this. And then tomorrow night's basketball. So we are still trying to stay as busy as possible. If you have anything else, let us know. I appreciate you hopping on. I appreciate everybody listening. And hopefully we'll hear from you soon. Paul Patterson signing off. Thanks for listening.
Tom Scallon, have a good night.
By the way, this was episode 76, the script of Talking the Walk. Now we're signing off.
Closing time. Thank you for listening to the Talking the Walk podcast show.